Those of you who have been here before, you know we talk a lot about different kinds of relationships, and we have shared many, many times at Bold Venture that apart from your family relationships, which are your priority, that God wants to give you Paul's, Barnabas's, and Timothy's. Paul's being the mentors that we've talked about this morning, Timothy's being those that we invest in. But apart from those two, there's another one, Barnabas's, which are your closest peer relationships. They are the people that will be in the trenches with you, the people that you can confess your darkest secrets to, the people that you can call at any hour from anywhere, and they're there for you. Guys, warriors need friends. And there's just like nobody that I could think of that could teach on this better than Chris Maxwell, who is one of my best friends, and he is a Barnabas in my life. And Chris, I met him when he was pastoring in Orlando, and then he had a medical crisis, which changed his life forever, actually made him a better man. People often say they like the new Chris better than the old Chris. And now he is the campus pastor at Emmanuel College in Franklin Springs, Georgia. So I'm going to invite, I can't see because of these lights. So I don't even know where he is. Okay, I'm going to invite my friend Chris Maxwell to come up. Can we give it up for Chris?
I'd like for you to close your eyes. We're accustomed to learning so much through our eyes now, visual learners. So close your eyes, and if you would be willing to do so without getting distracted or moving around much, I would like for you to stand for the reading of God's Word, but listen to it. Instead of us seeing it on the screen, I want you to be seeing with your ears, actually hearing as I read from Philippians chapter 4. And so focus. Close your eyes and focus. Think of Paul the Apostle writing from prison a letter about joy. Doesn't make sense, does it? From prison, in chains, as he labels it. Maybe not the worst of all of the prison experiences he had, but he's dealing with a church that needed to fix a few problems, like all churches, like us. But the mood, the tone of the epistle was joy. He needed them, the people, but was not an unhealthy dependence upon. So Paul in chains was so free. That is where God is moving us, by the way, into the chains of holy freedom. And he's inviting us to invite others to join us in the experience. So listen and meditate on these words as I read from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Oh, indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Say the word content. Content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Today, 2 o'clock, this Friday, this moment, it is good of you to share in the troubles of one another. Have a seat in silence. Do not get distracted. Let us pray. Father God, share in our troubles. Jesus, Savior and Lord, Spirit, O breath of God, and my brothers, God, I pray that we will not hear words of just what to do, but we will hear words and choose life together. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a doctor's appointment in Atlanta, Georgia, early in the morning. So I decided to spend the night in Atlanta instead of driving through traffic early that morning. I like to get where I'm going early. It was going to be a very important appointment for me as the neurologist investigates this damaged brain of mine again, as has occurred many times now over many years. And I was to be there with the doctor alone, but not alone, because God was with me. We believe that, the Spirit of the Lord being upon us. But the night before, I was able to meet and have dinner with someone whose skin color is not quite so white. We ate together. We discussed a different type of theology. The theology of community. Not alone. My friend listened. My friend listened to me. My friend asked questions. The next morning, I got up and I ate breakfast and I went over to my neurologist, and he was amazed again that a man whose brain is so severely damaged is seizure-free and living and writing and doing all of these things. And I can tell him, yes, I have to do my part, but God does His part. And he asked me an interesting question. He said, but what is it, Chris? You seem so successful. I see the severe scar tissue in your left temporal lobe. You should not be doing any of this. What is it? And I said, well, my neurologist in Orlando, before you met me, the one who was there during my most difficult times, said it was my God and my stubbornness that did this for me. But I will add one more actor in this drama of grace. People. I had people in my life to care for the former Chris, the in-between Chris, not knowing which Chris would come out of this in-between world of damage and disease and disability. But wow, they loved the new me. Even though my wife Debbie said on the 700 Club that I am her second husband. Same man, but different man. She loved me before, loved me during, even though she didn't like that. She loves me now. And we are, all of us, called by God to live in this tension of the book of Philippians. You know what? We can do it on our own. We can do it. But then we take this one verse from this text out of context and we think, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, that should be just like the Pentecostal positive confession movement of this new revival. Let's turn it into a song. Let's just do whatever we can do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. No, we can't. Don't take it out of context. He is talking about contentment. He's not saying I can have enough faith to grow hair on my head. He's not saying, I have enough faith that you pass me the ball. I can dunk it. I can just throw it under the hole. I might be able to shoot a three, but I can't dunk it. But Paul was saying, I need you. But I'm not in an unhealthy way codependent upon you. But by choice, I welcome your voice. I choose to need you. And because God has taught me how to find this godliness with contentment, because God has helped me find this grace of every face in every place, God has moved me to this place in tension, in prison, in chains. I am so free that I can live with or live without. But thanks for coming over. You helped me and I appreciate it. I'm asked so often, Chris, what would you do the same way if you could go and pastor again? What would you do differently? One of my most successful decisions I ever made as a pastor was not to be like so many other pastors. That's not sounding prideful. It's just learning from the mistakes of others. And it is realizing this, do not live life alone. Yes. I needed to live in this tension of, yes, it's a me and God life, but I need you with me. Can you come and hang out with me? So while I was pastoring in Orlando, Florida, I put together a group of guys. We were all so very different. We were not clones. Often we make that mistake. Well, I'm going to pick this person because they like my music and they're just like me and they want to have a church just like I want to have a church. We can do everything just alike. No, do not be clones. I picked Basil. He and Kathy chose to never have kids. That's not a Chris and Debbie thing, as I told you about last night. We had children. I was coaching them in sports. I was raising kids. It was just Basil and Kathy. Basil needed Chris. Chris needed Basil. Jim George, who was older, is a little more traditional of the Pentecostal movement. I was the Methodist who became part of the Pentecostal movement. I was young. He was old. We needed one another. He was a businessman. I was not. We needed one another. Bob Hazen, former counselor who became a pastor later in life, became a part of our accountability group. And I want to tell you, one of the best decisions I ever made as a pastor was to stop making decisions all on my own, assuming that what I hear is always the voice of God. I needed confirmation from those who had no ulterior motive. Then I moved to Georgia. I moved away from the guys. They believed it was right. I think they had had enough of me. And they're like, Chris, we believe this is God. I can't read between the lines there. But they challenged me to take the risk. The neurologist there in Orlando insisted that before he give his medical permission for me to move, I had to have another MRI. They did it. They put me in my prayer closet of having my MRI. The scar tissue in my left temporal lobe is just as bad. It is so terrible. I should not be able to talk or to speak or to write or do anything I'm doing. It is very bad. He said, Chris, it's not getting any worse. Not that we thought that it ever could get worse, but it's bad. But we send you on. My Jewish neurologist and Jewish physician both said, we bless you. Go. So now I'm in Georgia and I need accountability partners. And so I waited. I waited a while and then slowly God began to confirm to me different men that I would have beside me, with me. Who is beside you? Who is beside you? I've got guys in this room who have been a part of my life. Lee Grady and I, we would eat breakfast together. And then we would walk and we would pray. We would listen. We would challenge. And I love Lee. But I love him too much to worship him. He is important. He is being used by God to change our culture, to let us know what real love is like. But we are not to bow to him. We are to love him too much to place him in that place of a God. Lee is inviting us to God, not to worship Him as our God. I had that relationship with Him. And I could just think of so many different stories, but as I go back to that experience that I had, seeing that neurologist in Atlanta, what am I going to do after that? Later that day, I had a serious business meeting at Emmanuel College where I work, but I needed something in between. So two friends of mine who are here now, Rick, Eddie, they drove to Atlanta to meet me. So right after my appointment with the neurologist, which was a very serious appointment, I didn't even tell those guys. I told them enough, but I didn't tell them all that they were investigating in this brain of mine. But we sat together and talked. We listened. And then I left that meeting better prepared to deal with serious issues of college students and life at Emmanuel College. I needed that time with you guys. Y'all didn't have to do that. You drove out of your way to be with me. So now, what about you? I could tell you so many stories about my meetings with Bob and Basil and Jim. And when we were living in Orlando, we would go to the beach or we would go to mountains in Georgia. But we would meet every month. Now I meet every Thursday morning, early in the morning, my time of day, with a group of guys. And we stare at each other. We ask each other questions with no ulterior motives. Do not let your accountability group be a political game. I got to win them over. I got to win them over. I got to impress them. Can I brag? Can I brag? Can I brag? No, you can't. I'm going to give you a list of things. It is like a large list. If you don't have time to write it down, because I'm going to be talking it fast, we're going to be going through this list. It's not going to be on the screen because I want you to see with your ears. I'm trying to remind you that we are not good listeners today. I want you to be a good listener. Pay attention to what I'm saying. And these are practical steps. We could just talk theory. And I'm a storyteller. I could tell you story after story. But you need practical advice on just developing healthy relationships. Before I give you those specific details, just a few things to remember. You are designed to be in relationships. Do you hear me? You are created. You are designed to be in relationships. We're craving that. We are designed for it, and we have the desire. So the first D is what? You're designed for it. The next one is there's a desire in you. You are craving it. Now, this is where we have to kind of put on the caution sign, because often that desire can turn into something unhealthy. Let's not go in that direction. But let's also not allow the fact that it could take us in a bad direction to prohibit us from going in the right direction. Okay, we have this desire, and it's how we're designed. But then the third thing is this. We just have to do it. It is a decision we make to build relationships. Don't sit back and, well, I'm just going to wait and see if God ever gives me a friend. He has. They are there. Go after them. Yeah, but I don't want to bother them. Yes, you do. Deeper inside, you are craving to bother them. They are desiring to be bothered in a healthy way. So bother them. Get in their way. They're busy. You're busy. Don't let your busyness control your life. Dive into this world, into the waves of relationships, of conversations. The current can be stormy. We don't know what the waves are going to do to us. But do not stay ashore alone. Do you hear me? Okay. So with that, just kind of as a summary of how we approach it. Are you ready? Let's dive in. We are designed for friends. We are created by God to have true friends. And I'm not talking about, as I said earlier, just, I got to win you over, you win me over, let's play the game. Not that unhealthy friendship. I'll talk more about that. We need to understand what our need is. Okay? I am craving and desiring you, but I am not to be totally dependent upon you. I love Lee Grady. He is part of the body of Christ. But I want to tell you, my relationship with Lee is so healthy because God is the center of that relationship. Do you hear me? Where is God in the equation, in the design of your relationships with other people? If God is not the center of that relationship, you could be controlled by your mentor. Your mentor can become an unhealthy master who will abuse you gladly. Here's a word to say to those insecure leaders who are desperate for your attention. Here is a word to say to them as you smile. Tell them this word, goodbye. Goodbye. You are not to be in the cave of their insecure control. Do you hear me? You are too free to be in that bondage. The healthy cave of prison that Paul is talking about is that place of freedom where we choose to live a life of community. Okay. Do not base your worth and your value on the opinions of others. Relationships are important, but we are not to be dependent in an unhealthy way upon that. And do not base your worth and value on, please listen to this, this is huge, especially in this setting. Do not base it on the quality or the recognition of the, or the popularity of those people. You want someone famous to be the one who mentors you? Why? Why? You might not need a David now. You might need a Jonathan. You might not need a Paul. You might really need a Barnabas that has really no desire to be a Paul, who can stand up against Paul when he needs to, but love him anyway. You may need, I tell you who you might need to be your next mentor or your best leader friend. You want me to tell you their name? That name. A name you've never heard before. The unknown. The not so well known. Be secure in God to pursue healthy relationships. And again, beware of those who need to be needed. Concerns in this setting. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest with you. You got this many men who are willing to be a part of a men's group. That's rare. Men who are saying, I need you. I need you. Will you be my friend? That's rare in our culture. Men are trained to lie and deceive and to say, oh, I don't need you. Well, we really do need to find this healthy balance of relationships. But if men are seeking to be dependent upon you, they are not healthy men. They can be abusive to you. In a group this size, there are some men here in this room who would like to treat young men in ways that they are not to be treated. Okay? I'm being honest with you. If you have been tempted in that way, a couple of things. You are not to be controlled by that temptation. We declare that you are free in Jesus' name. If you struggle with it, seek help. But be careful who you have beside you and above you and under you to mentor. Make sure you have those who are strong to hold you accountable and who know your struggles. Be honest. You mean to tell you what a great outcome of this event would be? I love the feelings and the clapping and the moving and the shaking and the revival going on. One preferred outcome would be people leaving this bold venture and being bold enough to venture toward a counselor and seek help. That is a healthy outcome. All right. I could talk more about that. I'm going to try to stay on the positive, but I have to mention it. Beware of that. Stay away, and this is another thing, this is not quite that same topic, but stay away from those control freaks who, and one way to watch out for them is like they're always telling you what to do. And they talk, and they rarely listen. Okay? We have two eyes, two ears, one mouth. Get the point? Sometimes there are people who are pursuing leadership, and we've heard about it in some of the talks already. But some people pursue leadership, and they give these rules and regulations that are crazy. Okay? Like, just one example. Lee Grady told people at one of his events to sleep in this. To take a shower with it. what does Lee Grady have to do with how I take a shower? Or what I wear in my sleep? That's my business. And he told me that I needed to keep this on? That's like some weird control freak telling me I've got to do this. I don't do that kind of thing. I'm obsessive compulsive. Don't bother me at night or in the shower. Tell me what to do, Lee. But Lee, I'm being silly, of course. Lee's not a control freak. It's a reminder to us. He's not saying, you have to do this. It was like, it's experience. It's like, hey, this is what we, not me, I'm telling you, this is what we can do. I slept with her. In my shower. Kept it on. And I did not like doing that. I didn't like it. I love you, but I didn't like it. I don't like that rule. But I'll sleep with her tonight and shower in the morning. I will. Okay, let's fly through this now, okay? Also, obsessive compulsive. You start on time and end on time. Are you ready for this word? Tweet it, quote it, memorize it, say it, and do it. Ready? Forgive. Everybody say, And be forgiven. Look at everybody, look at me for a second. What if everybody in this room could just do those two things? Forgive and be forgiven. If you want to have healthy relationships and develop relationships with friends like we're talking about, you need to learn to forgive and be forgiven. So many of you in this room right now, you have been forgiven and you're still playing that same tape. You're listening to that same voice. I declare to you today to change channels. Do not listen to the voice of your former sin any longer. You are forgiven. Say goodbye to it. It is gone. It is gone. Let it go in Jesus' name. Balance the priorities of life. Work to make the relationships work. Sometimes accountability partners and mentors or those that we are mentoring, the relationships start off great and it's so good and God must be in it. To us, that means we feel good about it. And then when it takes work, when it moves toward confrontation, when it moves toward agreeing to disagree, finding the way to think win-win, or seek first to understand and then to be understood. When we move to that place, we often back away from the relationships. I am here today to tell you that is when the relationship is really happening. Yes. Don't distance yourself from that time of movement and motion. Invest time, money, and energy. What are you investing to build that relationship? Time, make it a priority. Money, invest money in it. And energy, what you invest will bring interest. You will actually become more interested in that you invest in. Give yourself to that. Ask open-ended questions with those you're meeting with. I know this sounds like elementary, but it's so important, because especially for men, because what? We're dumb. We don't know how to build relationships. We just, No, ask open-ended questions, not a yes or no question. Don't say, have a good day. Yeah, you? Yeah, see ya. It's like, tell me your deepest struggles. What is your favorite song and why? If you could pick one character in the biblical drama, who would that be? Why? Do you feel like you belong in this setting? I'm not sure if you do. You don't look like you do. Why do you struggle to feel like you belong? Ask open-ended questions. Do not control the relationship. Even if you are the leader, that does not mean control. That means care. You care enough to lead. Okay, let's roll. Laugh together. Cry together. Pray together. Play together. Be silent together. We love this one. Eat together. Oh, yeah. After that, what should I put? Let's say this. Fast together. An exercise. Read the same books together. And talk about it. I want to tell you, I'm ticked off at this. I'll get over it pretty quick in like 30 seconds, but I'm ticked off. Guys, don't read. I want to tell you, I had to learn to read again. I was a reader and a writer. I was writing Sunday school curriculum before the illness. I had to work my way through words again. Each book out there is a miracle of God. It's not just stubborn Chris and his hard work. It is the help of my friends and a miraculous work of our Heavenly Father. But He didn't say, "All right, Chris, you just sit back on your cute little booty and I will heal you and you can read and write all over again." He said, "Open your eyes and read a book." Lazy men, let's get busy with words and let's receive. Let's not just sit back and say, "Oh Lord, I receive." He's like, "You're not receiving. I've given it to you in a book that's right beside you on your desk. Open it up and read it." Be a Paul and Timothy. We've talked about that. Paul, Timothy, Barnabas. Hold one another accountable with their struggles, but also with their dreams and goals. Ask for specific goals and help them pursue those goals. Refer your friend to someone else when that is best about a particular topic. If they are talking to you about a chemical imbalance, it might need more than your 13 positive confessions to bring health to them. Maybe part of their own growth and development, of them being transformed into Christ's likeness, is just being willing to go to a doctor. It seems like my buddy Luke would agree with me. Luke would not say, "No, all Pentecostals shouldn't go to the doctor." That's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. People that say that go to the bathroom. They don't go to an outhouse. They drive cars. We use modern technology. Go to a doctor. Dear mercy. I got to get in a good mood. I want to end well here. I actually wrote this down. Some relationships are for seasons and some are permanent. But wherever you are, go to a doctor. Be willing to see a counselor, a coach, a mentor, a friend, a priest, and a pastor. Let's whisper a few things here. This one gets me. I'm going to say please before I suggest this. Please be somebody to that nobody. Don't just think you got to be somebody to the next coolie in town. Be somebody to the nobody. I believe, and I know I'm biased in this, so I admit that. This is a Chris statement, but maybe you should receive it. What if you included in your list of Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy, somewhere in there, a person with special needs? This is not political correctness. This is Christ-likeness. And maybe you are there to help them and feed them or clean them. As you're doing that, they may be the one mentoring you. Let me just tell you this story. It's this wonderful trip that I recently took. I was going to Augusta, Georgia for Bold Venture yesterday. I was excited about seeing the faces, being around people I haven't seen in so long. I just love this time, and I loved you with hair, and I love you when you became more like Chris. If I could be like Chris, that's him, the Bold Venture group. I was excited about this, but I then remembered that I have a cousin that I had not seen in over 3 decades, who's 8 years older than me, that many years ago, that I could hardly remember, was sent to a mental institution in Augusta, Georgia. Well, I lived in Northeast Georgia then moved away, lived in Florida for so many years, and then came back. And I was looking forward to seeing you guys and seeing my Lee and everything, but I could not get him off my mind. I could actually remember his name. That's big for me. Those of you that know that, you know that's more than just, that's something happening there. Harold. I found his address. His relatives didn't even have his address. I found it online. Called him, never got an answer. I decided to go right to his house. So yesterday when I came in, before I went to the hotel, I found his house and I went to it. He wasn't there. Knocked on the door. Tried to find him. I asked the neighbors if they knew him. They said, "Oh yeah, we know him. He goes from house. He used to be in a mental institution, and now he lives in this apartment. And he goes from house to house, helping us clean our houses. I said, man, I want to see him. Can you tell him that there's a cousin that he has named Chris? I knew he wouldn't remember me, or especially my name, or anything about me. It had been so many decades. And he lives. He was in law school, by the way, when he had an illness that permanently damaged his brain. And so I couldn't find him, so I came back over, checked into the hotel, rested a little bit, took it easy. And then I decided to come back over here, put my books over there in the booth, and I was talking to Lee for a few minutes. And I said, I got to go back. I'm going to change clothes before I come tonight, but I'm going to try to go see my friend one more time. Went back to see him the second time. He still wasn't there. A few people in the neighborhood said that they had seen him walking around and working and doing things. He still wasn't there. So I came back to the hotel and changed clothes and had to get ready to drive over here. Sometimes just putting forth the effort to build relationships, that might be all you need to do. Maybe you will never see that person. Put forth the effort, okay? Put forth the effort. Or maybe what God is saying to you right now, give it one more chance. So as I started to drive over here and get here a few minutes early like I wanted to, I felt like I needed to try one more time, three times as big for me, to see a cousin. As I parked at his apartment downtown, there's a man who looks older than I thought he would look, walking up to his front door. So I stopped and I asked him, excuse me, sir, is your name Harold? Yes, who are you? Well, my name is Chris Maxwell, and I am your cousin. You're Chris Maxwell? You have a sister named Laura and a sister named Janet? And you had an illness that they didn't know that you would live through? And you are here to see me? Yes, I am. Can you come and talk to me right now? Yes, I can. I was there to help him smile. Boom! He made me smile. I was there to help him feel better, and he got this brain working better. I was there to encourage him, and we took pictures. And he said, I have no food to give you. I'm just going to smile. Is that okay? I said, I needed your smile. There's some Harolds out there that need your smile. There are some Lees and some Chris's and some Eddies and some Rick. There are many people out there that will encourage you and help you. Do not live life alone. We started with our eyes closed in Scripture. I want you to close your eyes again right now. Open your ears, close your eyes, and listen. Don't be looking around. Just keep your eyes closed.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
That's about God loving us. Now let's edit it a little bit.
We love
him. He not only loves us, we love him. Let's sing it.
How we love him. Oh, how we love him. Oh, how we love him.
Now stand up and open your eyes and look around as we change the lyrics one more time.
I love you.
Look around and tell the people, I love you. Say it to these guys, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
One more time, let's sing. I love you. I love you.
I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I...
Okay, now we're going to change the words one more time, and it's going to be this. Let's love them. Let's love them. Think of my cousin and the other people
let's
that are around you.
Love them.
Just think about the people that are needing you in their lives right now. You are needed by them.
Let's love them. Oh, let's love them.
let's take it back to God.
We love Him. Oh, how we love Him. Oh, how we love Him. Oh, how we love.
Oh, God. We love You. I pray that we will be people who will receive Your love and acceptance and forgiveness, and who will display our theological beliefs by how we treat one another. That's our prayer. Could You, God, answer it better than I can ask You to, or that we can imagine that You might? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys have a seat. Just one thing. I've got the table out there with the books. If any of you would like to purchase a book for a pastor, and you don't have the price that's out there, come and get it, pay what you can, or just steal it and give it to a pastor who's in need, okay? You have my permission, okay? But really, we got so many pastors that are hurting, and I want them to get a copy of the book, Pause for Pastors. Love you guys. Thank you, Lee.